But has anybody peeled back the onion and looked into what it is? I know I haven't. I have my thoughts on what it is. I've done some minor reading on it, but to say I know what reincarnation truly is, aside from the definition we get in the dictionary, I couldn't tell you. And I think I fall under the umbrella with most people. But our guest here on the Lupate Show is outside the umbrella. Stephen Sekelarius is an authority and a film producer on the subject of reincarnation. In Another Life is his documentary. It was broadcast on PBS station KBDI in Denver, Colorado, back in January of 2003. And Stephen Sekelarius joins us now. Steve, good morning.
Morning, Lou.
Thanks for being with us at this ungodly hour, no pun intended.
That's my normal waking hour here in Atlanta.
So. Which life is that now? The current one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, all kidding aside, Steve, reincarnation. Like I said, I think I hit the nail on the head when I say everybody knows the word. People might even know the definition, but nobody truly knows what it is. What is reincarnation?
Well, it first of all revolves around the idea of what man is, and your analogy of an onion is a very good one, because it turns out if you study mysticism, you find that man is basically set up like an onion in layers, and the physical body is the outermost layer. If you identify with that and say, this is what I am, then reincarnation is, you know, you go from one body to another.
Not to be mistaken with the layers under my chin and in my gut.
No, this is different. This is different. We have different layers. There's a layer that corresponds to emotions and feelings and energy, and then there's another layer, a finer layer that corresponds with the mind, and then there's who we really are, which is the soul underneath. So basically, the only thing that gets sloughed off at death is the physical body. It's like molting more than ceasing to exist.
See, I am not big on you know, heaven and hell and life after death and all of that type of traditional stuff. But I am big, Steve, on energy. Like
right.
Us as energy, and when, as you said, the physical body dies, I am under the impression that the energy, some might call it the soul, but that gets into the religious aspect. The energy just, it goes off into wherever and could be swirling around, could be content and find a place. I don't know. Maybe there's some unsettled energy. That's why sometimes people see, for lack of a better term, ghosts. But, you know, the presence of energy is a better way I like to put it. Where are you at on the whole, you know, the reincarnation, having lived before, or is it pieces of energy that I talk about that would end up with someone else down the line? How does it work? Or how do you think it works?
Well, from what I've studied, again, the energy doesn't go anywhere. Energy is either manifest physically or it doesn't. It's kind of like in the Antarctic, you know, the water freezes and forms blocks of ice,
mm-hmm.
and they melt. But the water doesn't go anywhere. It's still there. Matter of fact, it's the same basic substance. It's just it's frozen temporarily and then it melts.
I like that. I like that analogy. I'm gonna have to borrow that.
Yeah, feel free. I'm sure it wasn't original with me, but I don't remember, you know, where I read it. But we're just like little ice cubes, and then we melt, and then we freeze again, and you know. But that's if you identify with the physical body, you get that perspective.
Now, is this obviously this is not a new concept, but is it a new concept in our society here in the United States?
Not at all. I've been reading the work of the transcendentalists, and I made a list of a number of names, but this is not new at all. Many of the poets, for example, that we know, Tennyson and John Greenleaf Whittier and the transcendentalists that we're familiar with, like Emerson, they all understood this.
No, I mean more mainstream society. Gosh, you just start dropping names like Emerson, and it's very unfortunate that a lot of people out there say, who? Yeah, but you say Ryan Seacrest, and everybody knows.
Benjamin Franklin, there's one most people know.
Well, okay. Now, is Western society more skeptical of reincarnation than, say, in the Eastern world?
Yeah, in general, although the Eastern world is now becoming Westernized, as you know.
That is true.
Yeah, and the Western world is becoming somewhat Easternized, so it's evening out a bit. We not only have the financial situation kind of doing that, but also the mental situation as well.
It's a small world.
Right.
How would and getting smaller. You talk about reincarnation, and I don't want to just talk about this so generically or blandly, but I mean, how does somebody know if they have taken part in this, if they've lived before, or how is one to know?
Well, first of all, according to the Gallup poll, about 25% of Americans report that they believe in reincarnation. So this is like you're sitting at dinner with four people and one of you believes in it. So it's much more common than anybody would think, just from looking at society at large. But to answer your question, there are several different ways that people start encountering this, and one of them is just repeating dreams. There's people that have dreams that are very vivid. They remember all the details, and these dreams keep repeating the same facts, the same people, and they have a sort of a reality about them. They're, like I said, they're not like ordinary dreams. And
they feel real instead of just remembering them.
They feel real, and they keep repeating the same things. And a few people have been able to track down the historical details. So that's how you begin. If you run across that information, you start to think, gee, you know, there's something real about these things, because I may not be able to track mine down, but a small percentage of people have been able to track it down.
Hey, you talk about, you know, poll numbers and America's interest and belief, 1 in 4. Is this something, Steve, that people are hesitant to, say, talk about in front of other people because you get labeled as kooky?
I think so, and I think it really can even affect your career. You know, if you start mentioning it at work, they start, maybe they'll pass you over for a promotion, maybe, you know, that kind of, I think people are concerned about it.
Didn't Patton think he was reincarnated?
He did. And he even pointed out a place where he'd been in a former battle.
I kind of remember that in the George C. Scott portrayal, where he goes to a battlefield and there, you know, he mentions a battle that was fought there, and of course everybody around them thinks that it was World War II, and then it turns out to be some ancient battle. I forget exactly which peoples they were fighting. But what does karma have to do with reincarnation, if anything?
Well, it has everything to do with it. It's a more complicated subject, but karma basically means that you reap what you sow. It's really not anything new, as long as you extend it to several lifetimes.
But I'm a big believer in karma. Good karma, bad karma. What goes around comes around, so to speak. But when you say it's everything, what do you mean?
Well, I was trying to think about how to explain it. Okay, if we have these different levels, we're basically an energy being, but we've temporarily crystallized into a physical body. So at the energy level, the action and reaction is pretty quick. At the mental level, it's even quicker. On the physical level, action and reaction is kind of slow. Everything here is slowed down, you know, like going through molasses. So what karma means is that the reaction takes longer. It's a delayed reaction. So there's still cause and effect, but there's a delayed reaction. So the reaction may not come around until you're in another body. That's one way to look at it.
Wow, that could be a long time. And the new body,
it can be a long time, but those things, they'll follow you around.
And the new body doesn't know why these, well, bad or good things are happening.
Right, and that's where the confusion comes in, and people feel that life is unfair and so on. Well, you're really creating your world out in front of you, but there's a delayed reaction.
Yeah, but I mean, if someone has this energy of another existence in them, and you know, something bad happens to them because it took that long to go full circle, that's not the new person's fault, is it?
Well, it's not really a new person. That's the thing.
If
you don't look at yourself as a physical body, it's all one life. It's all one person. And there are things that you may have done in your late teens that may be affecting you now. You're not the same person as you were when you were 18.
That is true. Actually, some people say I am, but
well, Steve, we won't go there.
Steve Sakellarios, our special guest here, is an authority and a film producer on reincarnation. His documentary is called In Another Life. His website, we're going to put this up on our website. It's www.ial.goldthread.com. Now, Steve, I have to say, I was looking forward to you coming on here because I'm fascinated with this stuff. It's one of those things where I want it to be real. Yet, I personally don't get any of these, well, to my knowledge. Maybe my subconscious knows about it. I don't get any psychic visions. Not that that's what we're talking about now, but just the whole kit and caboodle. I don't even get recurring dreams. Mm-hmm. My dreams are, I've actually had a friend who gave me a little leather-bound thing to write my dreams down in as soon as you get up, because once you take a shower and have a cup of coffee, if you could sit on the end of the bed, as you know, and you say, oh, that was an interesting dream, I got to think about that later. By the time you have your coffee, you can't remember the dream.
Right.
So you got to write these things down. I don't get any of that stuff. I'm sure I dream every night like everybody else, but I don't remember them. I certainly don't have recurring dreams. So I feel like I'm getting cheated because I don't get this type of stuff happening to me. Does that mean, like, I'm a new soul as compared to an old soul? And are there new souls and old souls?
There are, but most of us have been around a long, long time. I don't think you'll find too many people that are just starting out, because it's a very, very, very long process. We're talking hundreds of thousands of lives, so, you know, we're not going to quibble about, you know, a thousand here or there. I'll tell you, I think there's two answers to that question. First off, all children apparently have past life memories up to as late as age 7. But they don't know how to interpret.
Well, they don't know what it is, yeah.
And the adults definitely don't take it seriously. So, you know, most of the time it just gets blown off.
You know? There's something to be said for when that innocence is truly lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but the other thing I wanted to say is that it's very much a part of our everyday life. It's just we can't see it. We don't know how to look for it, and we don't recognize it. But basically, the more I get into it, the more I realize that it's with you all the time. All of your preferences, when you feel an instant connection with somebody, when you feel an aversion for somebody, when you get into certain stages or phases or want to, you know, certain hobbies, all that stuff is influenced by past life. But it's at a subconscious level.
Steve, what does that say about me? I don't like anybody.
I don't know.
I like Gary Mance, my producer.
There you go.
And my dog.
That's a start.
It's a start. One at a time, I guess. Take baby steps.
Well, the other thing they say is that basically, and many people have said this whether they believe in reincarnation or not, you're not likely to have more than a handful of really good friends in your lifetime. So if you put reincarnation in that, that means that these are the people that you spent the most time with, hung out with the most.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break. Our special guest, Stephen Sakellarios, his website, www.ial.goldthread.com. We are talking about reincarnation, for which Stephen is an authority. Also, a film producer actually put together a documentary called In Another Life. And you'll want to check out the website. And later on, we're going to be taking your calls, and we'll begin lining those up in a little while. Reincarnation. Stephen Sakellarios is our guest here on the Lou Page Show. 710 Cairo, it's the Lou Page Show. Stephen Sakellarios is our guest. The subject, reincarnation. His website, www.ial.goldthread.com. Stephen, when it comes to reincarnation, you have your documentary called In Another Life. How did you come about putting this together?
Well, I was starting my own one-man video business, Gold Thread Video, about 1997. And before then, I'd gotten into that from photography. I was into fine art photography as a hobby. And I talked to a bunch of professional photographers and video people who had abandoned all creative activity when they went into business. And I said, man, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm going to have some creative project going while I'm trying to launch the business. So around that same time, I seemed like I just happened to be talking to people, and as soon as I get to know them and they'd loosen up a little bit, they would start telling me about some family story, something that happened to them, you know, some paranormal experience. And I was thinking, man, this has got to be way more common, and these are just people from all ordinary walks of life, anybody, any persuasion, you know. And I started running across reincarnation stories and ran across some on the internet. And you talked about how people know. There's a few people that have flashback experiences where they're just doing something and suddenly a piece of music or something reminds them and bang, they're back in that life full sensory. So I started reading about those and I thought, this has got to be way more common than anybody guesses. And how is it that the whole society doesn't take this seriously at all, and yet all this is happening out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it must be this huge, vast number of people who are just afraid to say anything, you know. So that I thought, man, this is definitely, I just woke up one day and the whole thing had come together, and I just knew I was going to do a documentary on reincarnation.
Well, society, you know, does paint those, they call them what, the tinfoil hat crowd and things like that, even if people can back up stuff, it's totally logical and makes a lot of sense, people still give them a hard time. Now, I read a book years ago, and there was a chapter that dealt with Chinese numerology and the whole concept of nine lives. And I don't remember the formula in my head now, but you combine your birth month, date, and year, and I forget, you add, then you divide, and then you subtract, and that's how you find out what life you were in.
I'd be lost at that point.
Okay.
I'm not good at math.
Mathematics was never my forte either, so you're in good company.
There you go.
But it was basic little formula. It was, you know, add this, divide by, and then subtract. So it was pretty simple. I just thought of it now during the break. I didn't think to bring the formula. But the point I'm making is that would tell you what life you were in. Whether you're in a first or, you know, what have you. Is that just the old wives' tales, or is that something that pertains to the reincarnation?
Well, all old wives' tales contain a grain of truth. So, you know, you've got the idea of reincarnation in there, but according to my studies, it's a much, much larger number than that. We're talking hundreds of thousands, ultimately maybe even millions of lifetimes. So nine is kind of a small figure, according to what I've studied.
Okay. Now, we focused earlier on East and West.
Mm-hmm.
Do different cultures view reincarnation differently, or is it like laughter and it's universal?
Both, I would say. I'm a little leery to talk about what this culture believes and that culture. I used to really believe that all people from India were spiritual. I just venerated them all, you know, and it was a shock to me to run across materialistic people from India.
Well, you know? I'm with you on that. It's kind of a stereotype.
But in general, the East tends to identify man as a spiritual being, having a physical experience. And in the West, in general, we tend to identify ourselves as a physical person, and we may or may not have what we call spiritual experiences. So there's a basic figure ground kind of flop there between East and West.
Now, you think here in America, are people getting more interested in reincarnation, or, I mean, we said before, one in four, but it is a materialistic society we're living in, and, you know, TV and internet, and everybody's getting fat. Are people leaning towards it or away from it? Is that number one in four, is that on the up or is that on the decline?
It went up by a couple percentage points since, I think, 1990, if I remember my figures correctly. So very slowly climbing, as I understand. There's a lot of resistance to this idea for several reasons. One on the religious side, and then the other on the materialistic side. Both camps are really not happy with this idea because it would force them to rethink a lot of fundamental assumptions.
Well, you know, as I said before, I'm not a religious person, and the religious crowd, especially the hierarchies who runs different religions, churches, what have you, you're messing with their bottom line when
right.
You start bringing up stuff that makes their flock begin to question, you know, what they're all about.
Right.
And that, you know, hey, maybe these guys are a bunch of con artists.
Well, you mean the religious people?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's con artists in every camp.
That is true.
Yeah.
And sometimes they wrap themselves in a lot of robes, I'm finding.
Exactly.
Now, what did you discover about reincarnation here in the U.S. that surprised you, both as a researcher, as a filmmaker, when you were making In Another Life?
Well, somebody turned me on to Carol Bowman's work. She began studying Dr. Ian Stevenson's work, and Dr. Stevenson is the man who's done the scientific research on this subject. He and his colleagues and people have come after him.
Who is Carol Bowman for the listeners?
Carol Bowman took a look at his work, which dealt mostly with people in India and the Middle East, other countries, and she said, I wonder if this is happening here. And she had an experience with her son where he overcame a serious phobia and even some physical symptoms, eczema on his wrist and so on, as a result of a past life hypnotic regression, which we can talk about what that is. But when she saw her son come forth with memories of having been a black Civil War soldier, and he's a little redheaded guy, 5 years old, And he's drawing historically accurate photographs, and he's talking about things he didn't have any possible way of knowing. You know, she said, I wonder if this is really common in the United States and in our culture as well. And she found that it is. She's written two books, Children's Past Lives and Return from Heaven. And she has a website, which I can give if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Please do.
Yeah, it's www.childpastlives.org. And she's really been the pioneer in this field. She's brought some really strong cases to the fore. She's been able to get on some serious mainline media. Good Morning America, I think she was on, and Oprah and so on.
Now I'm going to have to get her agent.
Yeah, seriously, I would. I interviewed her. She's in Another Life, and whenever possible, I try to mention her work because she's really the American pioneer.
We'll put her website up along with yours on our website.
Yeah. Now, what she's done is she's documented these cases, some very strong cases. She's basically shown that our children all over the country are trying to tell us about their past lives, and we are blowing them off. All over the country. Most, if not all, of these children at some point. It's so common that I challenge anybody out there listening to go ask your circle of friends, has any of your children ever said something like, when I was big, for example,
mm-hmm.
or when you were little and, you know, I was big, or something along that line.
Something that doesn't fit.
Yeah, just find out if they've ever come up with anything like that. Some of them have come up with things that have been proven historically, a significant enough portion of them that probably the rest of them very easily could be.
Do you have any case studies that you can cite on that?
Handy. Yeah, I do.
All right. I'll tell you what. We'll get into that. We have to take another break. We're gonna pause it right here. Stephen Sakellarios is our special guest, talking about reincarnation, and is also the producer of a documentary called In Another Life. His website, where you could actually purchase the video, is www.ial.goldthread.com, and it's not just a place to buy a video. There's tons of information on this website as well. This is the Lou Pate Show at 710 Cairo.
You're listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
This is the Lou Pate Show, 710 Cairo. Reincarnation is our topic here. Our special guest, Stephen Sakellarios. His website, www.ial.goldthread.com. His documentary is called In Another Life, and there's information on that same website. Also, Carol Bowman's work can be found on www.childpastlives.org. And we'll give you those a little more, and we're going to put them both up on our website as well. We were talking about children, Steve. We were talking about children and how, I guess it's the innocence of a child. They know about past life experiences, maybe even try to tell their parents, aunts, uncles, whoever, and we as ignorant adults kind of brush it off as crazy kid talk. But whether it be children or whether it be adults, you mentioned you have some case studies to go over.
Right. There's a couple. There's one example of each, a child and an adult. We can start with either one, but we'll start with the child here. This is something that was shown on ABC's primetime not too long ago, and it's one of Carol Bowman's strongest cases. Gary mentioned it to me. He'd heard about it. It's a young fellow named James Leininger. I don't know how he's pronounced. It's a little six-year-old boy.
I hate to crucify people's last names, but I occasionally do it. But you're a Sakellarios.
I'm accustomed to that. I can't point the finger at anybody. But
people must mess that up all the time.
Yes, I'm used to it. Anyway, this little fellow, when he was two, he started having nightmares. And this is one of the typical ways that this happens and really comes to parents' attention, to where they have to deal with it. Otherwise, like I said, they just blow it off. It's mm-hmm. fantasy. It's a little, you know. But this little guy was having serious nightmares. And fortunately, the mother had read Carol Bowman's work and started to maybe consider the possibility that it could have been a past life. So they started talking to him seriously. And that's what it takes, to just listen seriously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this little 2-year-old boy starts telling them about having crashed in a World War II airplane. And as they continue to listen to him and talk to him, he starts coming up with names and details and so on. And
they're telling them how the plane works.
Yeah, exactly. Telling them little details about the plane.
So is it basically stuff that he could not have possibly known about World War II flying as a 2-year-old?
Right. I think the one example that they mentioned in the ABC series or show was that the mother pointed out, oh, look at the bomb on the bottom of his plane. She says, that's not a bomb. That's a drop tank. Well, I don't know. Nobody knows. You know, I don't know what a drop tank is.
I don't know what it is either.
You know, a little kid, you know, I don't know how old he was, 3 or something, you know. And then there's a picture. I'm looking at the website that's got this case as we speak. It's got a drawing that he drew of it. Well, anyway, they really tracked this thing down, and they found the previous person without very much question about it. There's just too many facts that match up.
Now, was that that person had passed on already?
Right. He died exactly the way this little boy was dreaming about. You know.
Oh, man.
James M. Houston, Jr. died in 1945, World War II Navy pilot. So that's one case. I mean, I can't give all the details. I'm not that familiar with all of it, except that having read it and watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
But another case I came across very recently was an attorney named Angela Grubbs. And she is just the nicest little Southern girl from a little town about, you know, several miles south of Atlanta here in rural Georgia, and was brought up very fundamentalist Baptist, which she went away from, basically, as she got older. But she started having these dreams and waking visions of having been this person. And the same people would show up in the dreams, as I was describing. They were vivid. They'd be very clear. She'd remember all the details. And the same details would keep coming up, like visiting a program on TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
Except that she was the person, you know.
So it's like a repeat.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a rerun. So anyway, she got some names. She got a name, Francine Donovan, which was her name, and she got a name for her husband and one of her children. And the name she got for her husband was a first name, Claire. And she thought, well, that's pretty silly. There's no men named Claire, you know, so it must be something else, Cal or something. I videotaped this woman. Her story, I videotaped an interview with her, and it's on my website for free. You can watch this. But I'll just give the highlights of it.
Okay.
Anyway, she got on the Internet and said, what the heck, let's see if there really was a Francine Donovan. And there was, and the time was about right, and she found out where she lived in Lexington, Kentucky, and she found out that her husband's name was Claire, K-L-A-I-R, I believe, which was a German name. He's August Claire Wietzel, but he went by Claire. So that really shocked her at that point, because she realized these people in her dreams were real. And then she went to Lexington, and she checked out all the details, and all the details check out, you know, of what she saw. So I think this is more common than we realize.
Now, we have to go and bring up this subject of skeptics. Are there a lot of skeptics that come at you or just come at the issue of reincarnation in general?
Well, there's two kinds of skeptics. There's skeptics and there's cynics. Skeptics are at least amenable to changing their mind if the facts warrant it, and cynics are not. So what we find is a continual process of skeptics being turned into people that accept reincarnation, but the cynics don't. So there's kind of a filter there. Does this make sense? I mean, the skeptics get through the filter, but the cynics don't. So the cynics build up behind the filter.
Does that make sense? The cynics don't want to get through the filter. You know, even if they were oozing through, they'd hold on with a death grip.
Right. Well, yeah, they count on one of their colleagues to pull them back to sanity if they should happen to slip through. So in my documentary, I interviewed Tom Schroeder. Tom Schroeder is an editor for the Washington Post. And he had investigated some of these kind of cases as a journalist, and he got hold of Dr. Stevenson and was able to arrange. Well, Dr. Stevenson, you know, is not real amenable to publicity, but he was able to arrange, I guess because of his station and status, to travel with Dr. Stevenson on two of his expeditions, one to India and one to the Middle East, because he wanted to see firsthand, is this scientist getting, is it real science, and is he getting the results he says he's getting? And he was skeptical. I mean, he's by nature a skeptical journalist. Mm-hmm. And he reported, he says, yes, he's getting it, you know. And he came out with a book called Old Souls, which describes this whole, you know, this research that he did of traveling with Stevenson and analyzing the work that he did and so on. So this guy is no longer a skeptic as regards reincarnation, as regards Dr. Stevenson's work. Doesn't mean he's a New Age guy that believes in all of it.
Right. Now, for the skeptics, can you throw some scientific studies at them or no?
Yeah.
Can this be studied scientifically?
Yeah, Dr. Stevenson's work is really the first one. There's a Dr. Haraldsson who's in Greenland or Iceland. I apologize for not knowing which. There's some of his articles that are on my website in the article section.
We'll just add geography to mathematics on that one.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes, both. But Stevenson is the primary pioneer in this work who applied the scientific method. But the skeptics I would say they resort to sophistry. And they resort to the technique of just saying over and over and over that his work has been discredited until... They just keep mud until it sticks, basically.
All right, Stephen Sekularius, please hold. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking reincarnation, if you're just joining us here on the Lou Pate Show. And he is the producer of a documentary called In Another Life, and you can get that from his website, www.ial.goldthread.com. You're listening to the Lou Pate Show.
Listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
This is the Lou Pate Show. Our special guest, Stephen Sekularius, is an authority and a film producer on the subject of reincarnation. His film is called In Another Life, and you can get it off of his website at www.ial.goldthread.com. Steve, how it happens to a society when the concept of reincarnation is removed? I mean, is it a detriment? Is it positive? Does it have no effect? How does that work?
Well, first off, it was removed in our society around 553 A.D., by the Emperor Justinian, who prevailed on the church, basically, to remove the doctrine of the preexistence of souls, and along with that, reincarnation went out.
So it basically made reincarnation illegal?
Anathema, yeah. Which basically means illegal. If you wanted to remain within the church, you'd better not express a belief in it at that point. There were people that still did throughout history, but it wasn't officially, and he had his own political reasons, apparently, and some historians say that his wife Theodora kind of pressed him on that, and he did that for her. So
she'd hold out on him.
Yeah, well, one wonders. Yeah. We don't know, but... Anyway, it was out as a whole, and it does have an effect. I have a theory. I have a training as a counselor. I'm not a counselor, but I have a master's level training in it. And in personality theory, basically, if you repress something, if you take something that's true and you try to just remove it, push it away, the personality fills in the hole, fills in the gap with other things, with dysfunctional behaviors. So I have a theory, as I've been looking at this whole business, that society does something very similar, that society gets dysfunctional around the gap. So one of the things that's happened, of course, is our materialism and the hedonism that goes with it, because if we believe that we are a physical body and there's only one time around and we should, just go for it, whatever it is, there's no real consequence.
Get it all in while we're here.
Get it all in while we're here, and then even the darker side of things that if somebody dies, that's it. If you kill somebody, you've eliminated them, and if somebody you love dies, they're toast. It ceases to exist. So what meaning does life have? So then we have the whole issue that meaning, that life doesn't have meaning. So we have people that have to fill up that meaning with drugs or with various kinds of stimulation. So we become materialistic
So you're saying that some people's dysfunctions could be based on some past occurrences?
Absolutely. There's a whole field of psychotherapy that's emerging called past life therapy that's based on that premise. And, there's a number of practitioners that are strong. Roger Woolger, W-O-O-L-G-E-R, but it's pronounced with a hard G, an organization called Woolger International. I interviewed him as well for my documentary, and as a requirement for that interview, I was asked to participate in a week-long workshop, so I was able to conduct a couple sessions. I was able to volunteer under him for a couple sessions.
Well, and I want to follow up on that, Stephen Sakellarios. We're coming to the top of the hour. If you can please hold, we're going to continue on the other side. And let me get your website out there again, www.ial.goldthread.com. And the documentary is called In Another Life. We're talking reincarnation here on the Lou Page.